This is Tom Bernard. Can't get enough of sports talk with Phil Mackey and Judd Zolgad? Tune in to the new Tom Bernard Show podcast Monday through Friday as Phil and Judd join me to discuss the latest sports headlines and whatever else comes to mind.
Just download the Tom Bernard Show app wherever you get your podcasts or visit TomBernardShow.com. It's another way to get more from me and Judd talking sports and having fun with Tom, and it's all at your fingertips. Download the Tom Bernard Show app now and join the conversation.
These guys survived the David Kahn era of Timberwolves basketball and live to tell about it. It's Flagrant Howls.
All right, we got our guy. It's a Jim Pete Thursday here on Flagrant Howls, a Timberwolves lifestyle podcast. We'll get you a random wolf of the week before the episode is over. But gentlemen, today we celebrate the Minnesota Timberwolves matching their season-long win total from last season with like 25 or 27 games to go. How about that, Jim Pete?
No one's happier than me. And, you know, and no one deserves it more than me either. Because I, you know, there's a lot of Timberwolves fans. You know, the I don't know if you guys have seen the swag around. They got these jackets for the people that have been season ticket holders for 35 years walking around. These things are pretty sweet. Like, there have been some lifelong Timberwolves fans that have paid a lot of money to sit in those seats. So I guess they deserve it more than me, but I've had to actually sit through the games. They can turn them off and walk away. I've had to sit there and watch it. So I'm enjoying this so much that I can't even tell you. I'm just pinching myself every game. And, Kyle, I love your tweets. I mean, like, all the stuff you've been tweeting about, you know, this team had this many wins when, and then also the fact that we get to watch Anthony Edwards every night. I can't tell you how happy it makes me. And then, Kyle, you're not in the arena, but Target Center is just such an awesome place to be, and to see the looks on people's faces, you know, when they're leaving the arena after an incredible win. It doesn't matter who the opponent is. It's just so much fun. I can't tell you.
Well, and this is going to sound like brown nosing, and I think we might get into debates here later, but it's also nice because I'm not in the arena. It's never been called better. You and Grady, as we've said every week now, are awesome. When Grady just yelled out highlights when Ant took off almost from the free throw line, and you guys, I mean, in that moment, people should go back and listen to that call, because Ant hits a corner three, and you're like talking basketball. You're talking about 50-50 balls, like educating the listener, and then you just paused yourself because Grady was going to cook a little bit as Ant was cooking. So it's been the most fun season ever. I think there's only seven seasons where the Wolves have won more than they've won now, but there's still 23 games left or whatever, Phil. So yeah, we're running out of those tweets that Jim loves, but they are on pace, I think, to hit 60 wins or 59 and a half, which would eclipse the 58-24 record they had back in 03-04. Someone say something.
Oh, sorry. Yeah, no, I'll jump in. Yeah, I mean, I'm with, like, the fact that we only get this type of season once every 20 years. Like, I was trying to think yesterday with Judd and Declan on a podcast about how many seasons of the 35 years that you mentioned, Jim, season ticket holders, how many of those 35 seasons brought in new fans in waves, right? The first one did because they were an expansion team. And then I think the KG Marbury first playoff run in 96-97, oh, this team's good for the first time, brought in a new wave of fans. Maybe the 03-04 team, which was the culmination of a decade of KG, and that's the best team in franchise history. Rubio Love, that era was fun for a minute. That Jimmy Butler, Tom Thibodeau season on paper was supposed to be fun, but it felt like just kind of pulling teeth for the entire time. This is right up there in terms of like just capturing. We've heard from so many people that, you know, I'm a Wild fan, I'm a Vikings fan, and the Timberwolves have always just kind of been over here for me, and I've been to 5 games this year, and it's amazing the vibe at the Target Center. This season ranks really high on opening the floodgates for new fans to enjoy this team for the first time.
You know, I think that this is, I don't know, we can have a discussion about this. I think that there's sort of a detente. Like, we don't talk about Gerson Rosas that much. And for whatever reason, you know, we don't need to go down the litany or whatever, but I think that he deserves more credit than I think he's actually getting for what this team is. The fact that, you know, cause like we have to remember, it wasn't just a foregone conclusion that Anthony Edwards was the number one. He was not a consensus number one pick. We could have easily picked LaMelo Ball and not been wrong in the moment. You know what I mean? And James Wiseman was not, you know, there wasn't a lot of video to see what he actually was, but what you did see was pretty incredible. And he had a big upside in terms of people, how people thought about him. Right. So getting that right was huge. Bringing us Chris Finch. That's Gerson Rosas that did that. You know, it was not a popular move to bring a guy that's a sitting assistant coach in another team, yeah, to bring him onto a team. Like, it was not a popular decision, and he took a lot of flack for that. But here we have Chris Finch now drafting or not drafting, but getting Naz Reid, an undrafted free agent, into the fold here, drafting Jaden McDaniels. Like, there are a lot of Gerson Rosas fingerprints on this team that need to be acknowledged. I feel. I'm just saying, if you're going to tell the truth and you're going to be honest about, and that's kind of what I've kind of pride myself on, of saying what's obvious in front of us, you got to give Gerson some credit. Now, Tim has been fantastic. You know, Tim has made all these different moves. I mean, getting Nikhil and the Mike Conley trade and all the things that Tim has done, bringing in Kyle Anderson. Like, this team would not be at this team without Tim Conley as well. But there's a lot of things that we have a lot to be thankful for, and Gerson's part of that story.
Yeah, I remember he acquired Jaden in that 2020 draft, which was, as Jim said, the most difficult draft to, like, scout, because there was no March Madness. Everyone's COVID locked up, so, like, there was no real, like, it was all over Zoom. But I think he got Jaden, Jim, and Ricky Rubio that draft for, like, Poku and James Johnson. And now, yeah, Poku was just cut by. Yeah. So, I mean, that's another win. And then, yeah, very few people remember that. I'm so petty, as everyone on the chat knows. But when they hired Finch, Rick Carlisle at the time was upset.
Oh, it's huge, yeah.
Because he was, I think, the director of the Coaches Association or whatever, but he was, like, pretty upset about that, even though I think, spoiler alert, Rick Carlisle just got handed the job in Indiana as well. But that was another one that's like, Gerson Rosas has his fingerprints all over this team, so credit to him. And then Tim Conley just kept cooking when he came in. So it's been really fun. I didn't know this. Jim actually said this last week, but the best season in Timberwolves history was 03-04. They win 58 games. I didn't know this, but the next season was when they only won 44 and missed the playoffs. So again, Jim, you've been really good about this. Like, just enjoy this. Whatever this is, enjoy this moment, because the best season in this history of this franchise, the following season was a disaster, and then it led to multiple disasters.
And the funny, as much as I'd love to let 10 seconds of silence pass now every time Kyle gets done talking, just to make this more hilarious, the season after the season that you talk about, Jim P, you were on the call for that season. I feel like it was tumultuous, and that was the season where Latrell Sprewell rejected the contract. It was like a 3-year, $21 million deal because he's got kids to feed. You know, it's not enough money, and Cassell was getting older, and all the things that happened. But they started making a run toward the end of the year, and we all thought if they could just get in as the 8th seed. And I think they beat, I can't remember if it was Sacramento or somebody, and they capped off, like, it was like their 3rd or 4th win in a row. And that's where KG had the famous post-game interview, we're coming, and they wind up missing the playoffs. But you're right, it was a pop-up year ultimately, and then the franchise went into a tailspin. This feels like the start of something, right? This feels like you guys go on Basketball Reference and you see when franchises stack like 15 straight playoff appearances and they go to the finals 2 or 3 times, whatever. To me, maybe I'm being a homer here, Jim Pete, it doesn't feel like, oh, they're going to be good this year and then we'll see what happens next year. It feels like the start of a 10-year run here in the Western Conference.
Well, and Mike Conley's signing was a big part of that too, like in terms of making you feel that way. You know, I think that when you sign Mike to that 2-year deal, Mike's not going to commit to this city if he doesn't feel like there's something that's really good brewing. And I think Anthony Edwards being 22 years of age, I mean, I think that hopefully that, you know, Ant's going to have the kind of career where he's going to wear one uniform. He's going to be like a Kobe Bryant or a Larry Bird or, you know, something like, you know, of that nature. I didn't really necessarily love that Michael Jordan left the Bulls and Jerry Krause had something to do with that and the timing of all that. Like, there's no way Jordan should have worn another uniform. But I don't want Anthony Edwards to wear any other uniform besides the Timberwolves uniform. So from that standpoint, yeah, you're right. It could be a good run. And, you know, it's just that year, that second year you were talking about after 03-04, talking about Spree not being able to feed his family. But Sam Cassell was also asking to get out of there. Like, he wanted to get out of Minnesota. He's telling teams that would come into play, hey, get me out of here. Like that was happening the next year. Like, it wasn't sustainable, unfortunately, and KG deserved better. You know, and that's why I think with Tim Connelly, with Chris Finch, Ant now doesn't have the volatility that Carl Anthony Towns has had to deal with. I mean, think about all the coaches and front office people that have come through this franchise since Towns has been drafted in 2015. And so Ant has the luxury now, I think, of sustainability through Tim Connelly and Chris Finch and the sensibilities that Alex Rodriguez and Mark Laurie are going to bring to bear as well. So, you know what? I'm just excited for our fans, the people that spent all the money to come to these games. It's not getting any cheaper. The prices are only going to go up, and for them to, you know, get this kind of product now just makes me so happy for them.
Phil, not to play devil's advocate, but one of my 10 biggest basketball memories is Thunder Heat, back when they were the Heatles, and the Thunder were the young up and coming, you know, Durant and Harden and Westbrook and Ibaka. And I'll never forget when the Heat were clinching that. I think it was probably their first title with their big three. Harden and Durant and Westbrook standing on the sideline, arms over each other. And I think it was Mike Breen on the call, but he was like, look at those young trio. Like, they're going to be coming back for a long time. And like 3 months later, they traded Harden because of contract stuff and CBA stuff. So again, I know I'm Mr. Optimist, but that's another reason why I'm like, I don't care what Jaden McDaniels' contract looks like next year. I don't care about the second apron. Like, this actually might be it. You might have a down year next year. I'm hopeful that they don't, and I'm sure Tim Connelly will figure it out. But I'm focused on today. Be where your feet are. I am enjoying this more than ever. Credit to Jim. Credit to everyone with that organization. But tomorrow's not guaranteed. So if you don't enjoy it now, you might never enjoy it.
Yeah, I think you're right. You don't want to just assume in sports. Oh, like, look at Dan Marino is the most famous example from the 1984 Dolphins. I think it was 83 Dolphins, 84 Dolphins. It was his first or second year in the NFL. And look at this. Throw for 4,000 yards. This is great. Going to light the sky in the 80s and usher in this new era of the Dolphins and quarterback play. And Dan Marino played two decades, never got back. So, I mean, the Timberwolves have to get there first and get to the finals for the first time. That's step one. I think two things can be true. You're right. Take advantage of this moment because there is an opening here in the Western Conference to push through and play in June. And if they can at least keep Anthony Edwards, and I think Anthony Edwards, Jaden McDaniels, Naz Reid as like the trio that's in their early 20s together, and then see what the veteran mix looks like in 2 or 3 years. They should be able to have multiple bites at the apple. Maybe we can hold space for both those two feelings.
If they lose Ant, I'm done. I'm with Jim. If Ant's wearing another jersey 1 year, I'm out.
Why are we so afraid of that? Not you, Kyle. I'm saying, like, we, the royal we, Minnesota sports fans, we're so afraid of that across all the different sports. Like, it could be a Gopher football team. Like, oh my God, PJ Fleck beat Auburn. He's gone, right? We're always nervous about our superstars leaving and our coaches leaving. It happens a lot less than we think if we go back. I mean, KG stuck around probably 2 years longer than the rest of the league wanted him to, for sure, right? I mean, KG was... Jim Pete, didn't KG have to be essentially coaxed into that trade?
Or KG didn't want to be traded. Yeah, KG didn't want to be traded, and he was angry that he was traded, actually. Yeah, he was not happy with McHale. He was not happy with Fred Hoiberg. When he was moved, he did not want to be moved. But then in hindsight now, after the fact, I think the story that KG would tell would be much different, because now he went to a storied franchise and he saw that the grass actually was greener on the other side of the fence.
Yeah.
You know, because, you know, that's the one thing they say, you know, it's like the old saying is that, you know, don't wish yourself to be, you know, have to see the grass is greener on the other side of the fence. You know, it's time to do some heavy digging on your side, you know, which isn't always true. Sometimes the grass is greener. That's Celtics, the history there and what he was able to sort of build on top of with Paul Pierce and Ray Allen. I think he would say that he wished he would have left earlier after the fact. And I think that's one of the things why I respect Carl Anthony Towns so much. You know, I think I don't think Cat gets nearly enough credit for, because KG is one of his mentors, you know, so KG is talking to him about life and about, you know, the lay of the land, and this is what the landscape is like, and this is what can happen, and this is what the situation you're in right now. And Carl could have left, you know, because he's got enough money, you know what I mean? He could have got the same money someplace else, maybe a year less or whatever the case may be, but Carl could have left at some point, and he hasn't. He stayed here. He's been loyal to this fan base. And for that one reason – the Timberwolves fan base should be very, very loyal and give him a lot more leash than I think some people give him. I have a lot of adoration for that dude, man, because he could have left and he didn't. He stayed. Here's one of the guys. He didn't do what Kevin Love wanted out as well. So I don't know. I'm just a really big fan of what's going on right now. And I think that these guys all want to be a part of it. And hopefully that, you know, it's really about how much money Mark Lowry and A-Rod want to spend, because the Ducks are all in alignment right now. All the contracts are signed. Guys are signed. The money's been spent. Yeah. Can you keep it together? That's the question.
All these crazy alien stories can't be true, can they? Hey, it's Stephen Diener, host of the Unidentified Alien Podcast. And whether you're new to the conversation or have been looking into it for years, you need to check out the fastest growing alien show out there, the Unidentified Alien Podcast, or UAP for short. There's a crazy amount of alien encounter stories out there from all over the world. And the beauty of it is that I bring them all to you and let you decide what you believe. Download and subscribe to UAP on any of the major podcasting platforms. And you can also find it on UAPpodcast.com.
Hey, I'm going to go a little off script here since we're going down memory lane. Phil, this isn't on the agenda, but I just wanted to say this on the record. I didn't text Jim this from last Friday, but I know it. Jim, I know you got stops against Brooke Lopez in that workout. I don't know if anyone else saw that, but they did my guy dirty showing Brooke Lopez doing one-on-ones in the pre-draft workout against Jim, and they didn't show any of Jim's stops. And I know Jim got stops against Brooke Lopez. Jim, you were that wasn't just the only one, though, right? You were doing a lot of different kind of workout stuff for
stuff. I've attended a lot of workouts over the years. I've seen a lot of people work out. That's the first time that I was ever asked to participate.
Okay, that's what it was. Any good stories from that, watching guys through that cooked?
No, I mean, it was just funny because, you know, I had breakfast with Jeff Muenike that morning, and literally I'm in a suit. I was doing a talk or something for the team. So I came to the gym, like in a suit, Jeff Muenike and I had breakfast over at Ike's on 6th. And so we had the full on Ike's breakfast, Phil. And it was, I mean, and now we were going to go watch the Brooke Lopez workout afterwards. Mune and I were going to sit there and watch it. So I'm sitting there with Mune, and Fred Hoiberg walks up to me and he goes, "Would you mind putting on some practice gear and play defense against Brooke?" And I'm like, I'm 46 years old. I mean, like, I'm like an old man who just had breakfast, you know? And so I told Fred, I said, sure, I'm getting ready to coach the Lynx. This is like 2008, right? So I started my coaching thing with the Lynx about that same time. So he brings me Al Jefferson's shoes and Al Jefferson's practice gear. And so I put that on and I go out there, and Mikhail and Randy Whitman are sitting over there. You know, this is the old practice facility inside the bowels of Target Center. And Mikhail and Whitman are over there going like, "Hey, get the paddles ready because Jim Pete's going to have a coronary here." Like, they were like, and so they were giving me a hard time. And then the workout started, and I swear I was getting stops. Like, I was blocking a shot. I was pushing him off the block. I was making him miss shots. I swear this is the honest to God's truth. I started playing less. I didn't play as hard. I was kind of letting him kind of like score more because I didn't want to do this to the poor kid during his workout. But we had, man, it was a battle. And luckily, like, there was a camera crew there to catch the little bit of, because people, I tell this story to people and nobody believes me. And I didn't really even see that video until they showed it on TV that night, by the way. So our producer found it. We had some video that was in the studio because it was a Fox shooter that did it. Of FSN studio shooter that shot that video. So yeah, I mean, it's I don't know, it's part of the lore, the Jim Pete lore, whatever there is out there of Jim Pete lore, but that's part of it.
It's hilarious. It's like you're sitting on a plane. You can't hide when you're a 7-foot basketball player. If you're a doctor on a plane and someone says, "Are there any doctors on the plane?" If you're not really feeling it, you can just kind of put your headphones back on and blend into your seat. But if someone says, "Hey, is there a 7-foot former basketball player?" No, not sure what you're talking about.
Well, all I say is, all I got to say is I acquitted myself pretty well that day. All I say, my footwork, I had some pretty good footwork going on at 46. So yeah, I feel good about it, actually.
I love it. I also saw, Kyle, I think you sent this to me, somebody on one of the Wolves off days last week. I can't remember which account it was.
I think it's Wolves Box Scores. It had a little Jim Wolves Pete box highlight. Yeah.
It was, yeah, it was, hey, the Wolves are off today. So here is a highlight package of Jim Peterson from the 80s. And it was just you rocking it with the rock. What are your three favorite flexing moments of your basketball career?
Well, one of the first games I played was an exhibition game against the Philadelphia 76ers. My first exhibition game was against Artis Gilmore and the San Antonio Spurs. My second game was against Dr. J at the Summit in Houston. Oh, that's a church now, by the way. And I blocked Dr. J's dunk in transition. I blocked his dunk. He knocked me to the ground, and they called a foul on the play. But I cannot tell you how – I mean, I don't even know what your surreal moment would be. Maybe it's a fantasy date with an actress that you're actually sitting in front of, you know, and you're having a conversation at dinner with your fantasy date. But for me, Julius Erving was the guy. I had his poster on my wall. I had the classic Dr. J, like, you know, dunk poster in my wall. For me to actually go up and block his dunk in transition was, it was a foul, but it still was a flex moment because I blocked his dunk.
Did you tell Dr. J to get that ish out of here afterward? Or did you stay quiet?
No, but seriously, I'm laying on the floor and Doc, his big hand came down to pick me up off the floor, and he picked me up off the floor and he patted me on my backside and he said, nice block. That was it's not really a flex moment, but it was just one of my seminal moments of my early, you know, career. Probably one of my best plays was in the NBA finals. I had an offensive rebound dunk, and it was like in between McHale, Parrish, and Larry Bird. They were all right there, and I just like hammered it back on their heads, and we ended up winning game five in that playoff series. So Boston wins the first two in Boston. We win game three in Houston. We lost game four on a tip-in by Bill Walton. If we would have won game four, because we won game five, and game five was the game that Ralph Sampson punched Jerry Seasting and got kicked out of the game. And so that's when I had to come on and, you know, take over for Ralph. And that's when I got that dunk on McHale. The building was crazy. And so that's probably the best play of my career.
One follow-up on you blocking Dr. J. You said did you know it was a foul in the moment? Or if that was modern day, would you have spun your finger around and asked for a review?
I would have totally done that. Absolutely. Because it was marginal contact.
It's hilarious, man.
Oh, man. That's awesome.
Should we do the Jaden McDaniels thing? Can we just let Kyle cut open a vein on anti-Jaden McDaniels Twitter right now? Kyle.
No.
Kyle, go nuclear right now.
I'm curious to hear about your Jaden McDaniel take.
My take is, and Jim and I talked about this for the first nine holes. Speaking of fantasy moments, like, I got to golf 18 with Jim, so I'm good on my fantasy moments. But people keep saying, like, we need to have a Jaden McDaniels discussion. And I just want to know what the discussion is, because I know he signed a contract extension, and next year he's going to get paid. I think he's going to be the 65th highest paid player in the league next season. This year he's 269th. He hasn't taken the offensive leap that many of us had thought, but I also remember at Media Day when Finch told us flat out, there's no more pie for him to really have. Like, there's not a lot of room for him because of usage for Ant and usage for Carl, and we have to keep Rudy happy and Mike and all these other guys, and Nas is coming in. So if you're disappointed they hasn't taken the leap, I'm just concerned or confused. Like, and Jim, you do call it like it is. And I think Brett Robson does this too, where I don't like when Jaden goes rogue and tries to, like, do his own thing or, you know, just kind of attack the basket by himself. But last night was a great example too. There's this play I tweeted out where Ant drives, five guys collapse on Ant. Jaden's wide open in the slot. Monty Morris is pointing at Jaden McDaniels, like, the ball should go there. Ant does not pass him the ball. So if Jaden's not going to get spoon-fed and Jaden's not allowed to go hunt for his own food, how does Jaden eat? It's just a question. And Jim, you see the game light years more than I do. I know there are frustrating aspects, but he's also, his foul rate per 36, lowest of his career. He's fouled out once in 2024. And that demeanor that he has, it's like, does he care? He looks frustrated. It's the same demeanor that the team's Twitter account memed when they're like, happy Jaden, sad Jaden, excited Jaden, frustrated Jaden. They're all the same face. He's doing the same stuff, I think, Jim, that he's always done, but we just had high expectations for him. And that's before you factor in all the personal stuff that he might have going on with, you know, having a kid and stuff. But that's my rant to you, and you see it better than I do, and we kind of disagreed on some stuff. But what does your Jaden McDaniels conversation or discussion look like?
Well, I just look at what the things you can do to, that you can control. And right. So, you know, some of the what you can control is your energy level. I think that, like, how hard you play, I think you can control that, you know? And so when you're a supremely gifted, like, I just feel like Jaden's is an elite level athlete. Like, and that's, I mean, obviously all NBA players are elite level, but then there's stages of even at that level, at the NBA level, he's as athletically gifted, both with, you know, physical gifts and the speed and jumping ability and those kinds of things as well. He has those gifts on top of the being 6'11" with a 7'2" wingspan, whatever his arms are. I just think he could do more. I think he could corner crash more. Like, you look at some of these guys in the NBA, you look at Mikal Bridges, some of the stuff that he does, you know, like he did with Phoenix, by the way, because, like, Jaden is more like Mikal Bridges playing for the Phoenix Suns, because he was marginalized too, by the way. He was not, you know, and people were saying this when Mikal Bridges was traded to Brooklyn, right? I think that Jaden, if he went to another team, like, he could do what Mikal Bridges is doing. I'm not sure that that's true, because I don't know if he is wired up to think that way and to want more for himself like that. So I just don't, you know, that's just what's going on from the mental standpoint of how he's thinking the game. I just think he could play harder. I think he could crash more. And if he's not getting balls, if he's not getting the ball within the flow of the offense, he could go get some rebounds. I've never heard a coach say rebound too much.
Rebounding is a big one. Yep.
So I just think there's opportunities for him, because, like, if you just watch him, watch him when shots go up in the corner for Minnesota, when a three ball goes up, does he rotate out of the corner to start getting back on defense? Does he go and circle back to the elbows? Because a lot of times, think about where the ball bounces. They bounce long a lot of times, right? Is he just standing in the corner, and then does he kind of just jog back on defense, or does he, you know, he's not opportunistic. I just think he could do a little bit more from that standpoint.
Hey, and we have like 2 or 3 minutes left here with Jim Pete, and we'll get to a random Wolf of the Week. If let's say next year or the year after, the roster is such that the Wolves are asking Jaden McDaniels to do more offensively, what does his fully realized version as a player look like? Is there a comp, Jim Pete? I'm kind of putting you on the spot with that, but what does a fully realized Jaden McDaniels look like if he's playing hard all the time, if he is shooting more shots and just being asked to do more in like 3 or 4 years?
I don't know. I mean, like, is Mikal Bridges? I mean, like, what he is, was Mikal Bridges?
Phoenix Suns version, yeah, right? Because he was behind Chris Paul and Booker and Ayton at the time.
Yeah, I mean, I just, you know, I want his numbers to go up exponentially. You know, like, he's right now, like so Jaden went from 5.8 to 7.9 to 9.1, and now he's down to 8.4 shot attempts. You know, these are shot attempts. And, you know, scoring wise, he was at 12.1 last year. He's at 10.3 now. I just kind of felt like he was going to go from 12.1 to 14. Yeah. Maybe that's too much ask, given like what Kyle was talking about with the usage and stuff, but I don't know. There's a lot of ways to accumulate points. You know, you can get to the free throw line. You can run in transition. Like, you can go get an offensive rebound. There's so many ways that you can help your team. So, anyway, I just think that Jaden has got more to give, and I think he's the one key. And this is what I was saying yesterday during our game. I was just saying, like, I think Jaden is the one that's going to make the Minnesota Timberwolves NBA Finals ready. That if he can go to the next level and if he can contribute like that 12 to 14 points, they're going to be unstoppable. I think he can do it.
He did have that 8-second violation that he forced last night that you rarely see. But I'm with Jim. Last night was his first night good game in 6 weeks probably, right? Kind of like the offense was bad in January. That's a real thing. Jaden's been in a funk. I keep coming back to the fact, Jim, that he's getting paid less this year than his brother Jalen. And I don't think half the people listening to this know where Jalen McDaniels is playing. So, and I mean, I don't either. I mean, I guess he's on the Raptors, but he does have a pay increase coming. He needs to increase his production. Jim's right. I just take it easy on him. He's like a 3-and-D guy that, not you, Jim, just people that keep tweeting at me how much he makes in 2029.
By the way, real quick, like, I'm down a rabbit hole now on his basketball reference page. When he does shoot, He shoots 77% at the rim, which is above league average. That's very good. He shoots 49.5% from the painted area, 52% from the 10 to 16 foot mid-range, and then he shoots, he's about a league average three-point shooter. It's like he's efficient when he does shoot and when he does score.
But he's an excellent corner three-point shooter.
40% or more, I think, from the corner,
He's an excellent corner three-point shooter. Another thing that makes me disappointed, we never got to Caitlin Clark either, by the way. We're going to get to Caitlin
Clark. We'll say that there's no deadline.
Okay, when she'll break Pete Maravich's record in the next game, let's do a deep dive next week for sure. Let's not shoehorn it in 30 seconds.
I know, but I mean, do you guys realize that Pete Maravich scored all those points in 83 games?
No.
What?
Pete Maravich scored all those points in 80. He only played 3 years because freshmen weren't allowed to play as freshmen until 1972. So Pete Maravich only played his sophomore, junior, and senior year. He averaged 44 points a game.
That's wild.
And he scored all of those points in 83 games. Caitlin Clark has done what she's done in 129. And Kelsey Plum did what she did in 139. So
that's crazy. I mean,
but so Pete Maravich scored all those points in 83 games. I just thought that was amazing.
It looked amazing, man. Caitlin Clark was at the barn last night, right? It looked like that place was.
Yeah.
Caitlin popping. Clark was there, and I had a chance to. I chatted with. I had to call my girls. I had to call Rebecca Brunson and Lindsey Whalen to talk about Caitlin Clark a little bit today, just kind of prepping for this thing. So we'll save it for next week.
Okay, when she'll break the record, and we'll do a deep dive next week for sure. All right.
Okay.
Jim Pete.
Thank you, sir.
Awesome stuff, man.
Okay, there see you guys. Is.
Jim right, Pete Thursday is here on Flagrant Howls, Kyle. We'll get to a random Wolf of the Week in a second, but let's shout out a couple of our friends, starting with Modest Brewing. So, I don't know, it was like probably 6 months ago. It was sometime last summer, maybe 6-7 months ago, and Daniel, one of the owners over there, was showing us in construction at the time the new group gathering spot that has now officially opened up, perfect for parties sized 40 to 120, an amazing private event spot, whether it's corporate parties, happy hours, birthday parties, wedding stuff, you name it, private entrance and private bar, and a great view overlooking the brewery as well, and a tricked out AV setup too, so you can obviously bring like a DJ in, whatever you want to do. At Modest Brewing. You can find out more information at modestbrewing.com. It's just steps away from Target Center in the North Loop. A great place, by the way, for pregame drinks during this Timberwolves homestand. So check them out, modestbrewing.com. Also, our friends at AG1 are trusted by top athletes all over the world and me, Kyle. I don't want to put us in the same sentence. AG1 is a simple and comprehensive foundational nutrition supplement for whole body health. I discovered AG1 about 7 years ago. One scoop mixed with your water in the morning, or for me lately, the last few months, it's been middle of the day. It just works out better for me that way, and I like to give myself a little bit of a jolt middle of the day. 75 high-quality ingredients, and it gives you that peace of mind that you are getting nutritional supplement. A foundational nutrition supplement, I should say. So if you want to take ownership of your health, it starts with AG1. Try AG1 and get a free one-year supply of vitamin D3, K2, and 5 free AG1 travel packs with your first purchase. Go to drinkag1.com/flagranthowls. That's drinkag1.com/flagranthowls.
Can I give one plug?
Please
since
do.
You mentioned Modest Brewing and the party. Do I have this right? I'm going to be a company man here. Tickets go on sale tomorrow for the Purple Daily Draft Party.
Not only do they go on sale, they're also available for free.
Okay.
Woo-hoo! Tomorrow at 10 o'clock. So, yeah, thank you for the reminder on
that. Well, I only bring it up because I strong-armed my way into some Vikings coverage. So I think I will also be at that event running around screaming about the draft. But that's going to be awesome. I've seen videos of past draft parties Score North has had in Purple Daily, but if you want to go hang out and talk Vikings or just Wolves, because it's going to be around the same time the Wolves are probably winning their first playoff series in 20 years. So go get those tickets, free and VIP packages.
Dude, this is, and I'll give you the full information here. This is the most fun event. It's the third. So this is like our Super Bowl, basically, every year at Purple Daily. And it's going to be Thursday, April 25th. 7 o'clock is when the podcast starts, and when the draft starts, we're gonna have a huge giant screen on mute, obviously, with the draft coverage. You can watch it and then listen to us do the podcast. Kyle, you're gonna be in. We've got some other fun contributors coming in as part of the Score North family. And so 10 o'clock Friday is when tickets are available. General admission is free, or you can get your hands on a $100 VIP package that includes premium balcony seating, access to a private bar and lounge, 2 drink tickets, food voucher, purple daily beanie, and an exclusive meet and greet with the show, myself, Judd, and Declan. ScoreNorth.com/party. ScoreNorth.com/party. So, again, it's free to get in if you want to go the general admission free route. You got to have a ticket, though. So we are encouraging people to go to ScoreNorth.com.
This isn't waste management. You don't just get to show up and come in.
You got to have a ticket. So, all right, boys, in the last few minutes here, let's do our random Wolf of the Week, where Ross Brendel, our great producer, has a bunch of clues. He's going to give them out one by one. And Kyle, you and I are going to fight to the death, a Wolves historical fight to the death.
I got to find the I got to find this and send it to you guys. But there was like some Australian local news channel, I think, picked up our podcast with Shane Heal.
Oh, really?
So it is spreading like a Western Australian wildfire. But
I love it.
I'm excited for another round of this. Ross, do you have the updated score, the correct score, not the one that Phil sends you?
9-5.
Okay.
Yeah, mine says that I'm up 8-4, so I don't know.
Kyle leads 9-5. Oh, what a way to make a living.
Nope, no singing on this podcast. So, okay, Corey Brewer, AK-47, J.R. Ryder, and Sam Mitchell are the last four random Wolves of the Week here. Yeah, Ross, take it away.
Corey Brewer's last week, right?
Yes.
He was last week.
Okay, let's get
and,
it.
And by the way, new way to do this. I avoided the algorithm this week thanks to Peter D. on the X Machine, who gave me the suggestion. If you would like to give me a suggestion, you can DM me at the Ross Brendel on the X Machine. Clue number one. This random Wolf of the Week played in just 249 games.
Okay.
I know that clue typically does nothing for Kyle, but my apologies, Kyle.
I mean, it narrows it down. It's not going to be Kevin Garnett.
Fair point. This random Wolf of the Week was selected late in the first round of the NBA draft, not by the Minnesota Timberwolves.
See, that's interesting. Like a first-round pick that kind of flamed out, basically.
That's, you know? That's the only player the Wolves signed for 2 decades.
This random Wolf of the Week wore number 13 in the National Basketball Association.
I'm bad at numbers, so
I am
advantage
too. That one
Kyle
is
here.
The worst clue. Good clue, Ross, but I don't get it.
Okay, well, move on. In 1994,
oh boy,
this random Wolf of the Week was named High School Player of the Year by Gatorade, USA Today, Parade, and more.
So went from being High School Player of the Year to not even being a lottery pick to not even playing 250 career NBA games. Okay.
You are correct.
Says the guy standing in a glass house throwing stones.
This random Wolf of the Week played just 90 games for the Minnesota Timberwolves over 2 seasons.
Okay, interesting. So high school.
Carry the one. This random Wolf of the Week is 49 years young.
Oh.
So then let me just do some math.
We can just vent this out. This is my guess. But
told
I had
there would be no
math. I was
going to
say Nate Knight because he wore 13. I'm just only focused on 13 now. Corey Brewer wore 13, Nate Knight, but Nate Knight is not 50.
He wasn't the 1994 High School Player of the Year, Nate Knight.
I think I skipped that one.
This random Wolf of the Week, gentlemen, was 6'5", playing guard. A 6'5" guard.
And it's someone that someone thought it would be funny to send it to you.
They gave me a few. This is truly random. I don't know how long it would have taken the algorithm to pull this name out. This random Wolf of the Week played for three different NBA franchises, the second of which was the Minnesota Timberwolves.
So drafted. And there was, if my age math is right, this is an era where this is like between the Steph KG era and the KG Spree Cassell era, where they had so many different roster iterations.
Phil is really good at this. He's getting in the ballpark.
He's dissecting.
Phil's not getting in the ballpark. He's getting in the arena. This random wolf of the week was part of two of the seven straight one and dones in the NBA playoffs for the Minnesota Timberwolves.
I think once you give the points per game, which sometimes that does nothing for Kyle, but it like sparks me. I want to know, like, did this guy, was he like an 8 points a game rotation guy, or was he like 2 points a game, you know, mopping up?
Well, let's see if this one helps you. It might start turning here. This random wolf of the week is a native of the Dominican Republic.
Oh my God, I keep having... I'm just going to throw out a guess, but it's like wrong on nine different clues. Is it Mike James?
It is not Mike James.
He kind of came around toward the end of the KG era. Tell me what I do bad. I was interning for Chad Hartman when Mike James came on.
Such a great phone call.
The famous interviewer. Chad was poking him like, who are you, guy? You know, he's like, I'm the best player in the NBA. Tell me what I do bad.
Remember that same interview, Phil? He compared himself to a prostitute.
That's right. You might have been interning there, too.
Okay. He basically said, you don't really want me, but in the end, you'll settle for me. Yeah. It was basically what the quote
God, that
was.
Would do numbers on a podcast now. I'm gonna copy that one. Thanks, Mike.
Prior to playing for the Minnesota Timberwolves, this random wolf of the week was a member of the now-defunct Vancouver Grizzlies.
Oh, my gosh. Oh, man.
I may have to get some bonus clues ready.
Oh.
I have no idea.
This one I don't think will help you, but I just wanted to mix in the name. This random wolf of the week played for Fran Fraschilla at St. John's.
Fran Fraschilla coached the Grizzlies at one point?
Maybe that explains how this guy...
Or was that Mike
Fratello? Oh, you're thinking Mike Fratello, maybe.
Tomato, tomato. Sure. Fratello for mono.
All right. This random wolf of the week scored his career-high 26 points against the Minnesota Timberwolves while playing for his final team, the Washington Wizards.
Oh, man. I'm just trying to think of all the freaking guards they had back in that day. 6'5", late 90s, early 2000s.
Some may still prefer to call this random wolf of the week the Spanish Michael Jordan.
What?
Some may prefer to call this random wolf of the week the Spanish Michael Jordan. Great job.
But he's Dominican.
Great job, Peter D. I'm just going off of what I find on the interwebs.
He's not from Spain.
But don't they? No, he's not. But don't they speak Spanish in the Dominican?
Oh, okay. Yeah, they do. Okay.
I'm going to be honest with you.
The Spanish-speaking
Michael Jordan. This random wolf of the week was the subject of ESPN's 30 for 30 documentary entitled The Dominican Dream.
This dude played 90 games with the Wolves?
He did. This random wolf of the week averaged 5.8 points per game.
There it is.
Throughout.
That's the magic one.
His NBA career.
How many with the Wolves?
90 games with the Wolves. Oh, you want to know the points with the Wolves. Well, we'll get there. Okay. You know, I'll just tell you. I'll mix up the order because I don't think you guys are ever going to get this. This random wolf of the week.
What was your first hint?
This random wolf of the week. How many points did he average with the Minnesota Timberwolves? Now I got to find that. You guys got me working.
If you have another clue.
Well, I think this one's going to start to give
it
away.
This happened on the Purple Daily version of this today. Declan got mad and just told us the answer. And for the first 150 editions.
I'm not going to do that to you.
This random wolf of the week. Actually, don't confuse this random wolf of the week with 11-year Major League Baseball player. Let me rephrase that. Don't confuse this random wolf of the week with the 11-year Major League Baseball player who had the exact same name for the Cincinnati Reds.
Oh, my God. Hold on.
This is so...
What era did the Reds player play? Like, what years?
I think it's 2000s. Mid-2000s? This one's... I think this one's going to do it,
Willie
boys.
Willie Mopeña?
And at guard.
Jason LaRue.
From St. John's, Willie Mopeña.
Johnny Bench.
This is going to do it, so be ready, boys. Somebody's going to get it on this clue. This random wolf... This is so funny that this would come up today. This random wolf of the week is not a brother of the Lopez twins, although he does share the same last name.
Oh, Felipe Lopez.
Phil's correct. He got it.
Needed that Lopez clue, by the way, to get Felipe Lopez. And yeah, Felipe Lopez, was he a pitcher? No, he was an infielder.
He was a hitter who at one point, I think, almost hit 20 home runs in a season.
There it is. All right, Kyle.
Kyle, do we need to get Felipe Lopez on the pod?
I own your ass, Kyle. I own your ass.
I know less about this whole game today than I did starting. I have no idea who Felipe Lopez is. Was he in our top 300?
I don't think he made the top 287. I'm not sure Felipe Lopez fell in there. But I'm happy to know that the Spanish-speaking Michael Jordan has made his debut.
I'll DM Felipe Lopez, try to get him on the pod next week.
Sounds good.
Peter D, good work. Thanks for the suggestion.
All right, we got to run. This is a Timberwolves lifestyle podcast, the official podcast of Felipe Lopez fans everywhere. Flagrant Howls.